Now, as I showed in the previous episode, I'm not in my normal pre-spew spot, but this will have to do for now. This week I'm joined by Harry McNulty, plays for the Irish Sevens, was in the Munster Academy, and actually is grown up all over the world, so he's a very interesting story, you know, his travels around. He also won the position of, you know, exploring through the Royal Caribbean Cruise for a couple of weeks, you know, and was paid to do it as well, which I think is a pretty awesome job. So, really, really nice guy. One of my favorite podcasts to date. So I hope you guys enjoy it too. Just want to wish Harry the best on qualifying for the Olympics next year, and, you know, maybe someday we'll have him on again. So until then, like, subscribe, share, and I'll chat to you soon. Bow, bow, bow. Is the inside trail. Oh, it's a great crack, Harry.
It was alright.
I always have to have a sip of the, because I know you've just had a coffee, so I won't over caffeinate you.
Great. Rip the walls.
Fantastic to have you here today.
Thank you very much.
So as we kind of did a brief through of all the different things that I wanted to ask you today. So, you know, I feel like the best place to start is, I suppose, your journey into rugby. And so first of all, where were you born?
I was born in a place called Bahrain, which is in the Middle East, which is an hour's flight from Dubai and situated right beside Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
So most people don't know where that is.
Small little country, I think it's like 20 kilometers by 11 kilometers, something like that. So I was born there, didn't spend too much time there. Moved to London after about 6 months. Was in London for a couple of years. Brother and sister were born there. Moved to New York. Lived in New York for 10 years. My other sister was born there. Dad played rugby like through his whole life, career or whatever. So I knew about rugby. I didn't really do any training. I'm wearing a hockey jersey today.
Yeah.
I played ice hockey growing up.
Yeah.
So I played ice hockey for the whole time that I lived there. Did baseball, swimming, diving, soccer, never really got into American football, played that for one season just to try it, and I didn't really like it. Tennis, just did everything. Sports in America are done by seasons, so it gives you that chance to go from
and hockey. Try different things.
Yeah, hockey's only in the winter, and then as soon as the winter moves, then you do something else, then spring till summer, and then summer something else. So did a little bit of rugby. Dad tried doing a little bit of like just training sessions because he had friends who had played it, so just to move the ball around. But then when I moved back to Bahrain, when I was 14, that's when I first joined a club, so Bahrain Rugby Club, and played underage matches there, and then I was in Bahrain for 6 months again, and moved on from Bahrain to Tipperary, to Rockwell College, so that's where my uncle went to school, went to boarding school on my own choice, and just started playing rugby there from second year onwards, and it's brought me to this point now.
And that kind of kicked you on then, so then...
Yep.
You played your rugby in school, you played in the Munster Senior Cup, and you obviously had talent, and then you went into the Munster Academy?
Yeah, so played, through, I never started on a team ever until fifth year, was when I first got my first start,
really?
And then, I was learning,
I
came to
it
young,
so
played on the Bs and whatever the whole way through, and then in fifth year, started playing on the Senior Cup team, and then lost the Senior Cup that in the first year, and then won the Senior Cup the following year, which was great. Went to Dublin for a year, actually. I was in DIT studying forensics. I had science down, and I think I had science down in both Trinity and UCD, but I just didn't get it. So forensics was my third choice. Did that for a year, and then I played Munster 20s in that year as well at the end. So after playing the Munster 20s, I got asked to join the academy. So then I transferred from DIT to UL. I transferred into food science. I didn't do forensics down there, but I then split my modules in food science, so I did kind of half course.
Yeah.
Didn't really go all that much. yeah, I was in the academy for 2 years. Like, it was great, learned loads, but just never kicked on, which, you know, happens to most people. So that was great. And then moved back to Dublin when I left the academy, and then went into food science in UCD.
Yeah.
While I did my degree, I was playing for UCD then.
Yeah.
And then when I was playing for UCD, the Sevens program started up in 2015, and they had an open trial, which was out in Santry at the running track.
Morton Stadium.
Basically, like, my mum was like, oh, there's Sevens is coming up. And I played Sevens. So reeling back, when I was in DIT, I played for Trinity. And Tony Smith is a huge advocate of Sevens. So I played Sevens, and I won an All-Ireland Sevens in 2011 with Trinity.
Nice.
So, like, Niamh Adeolukin in Connacht was on that team and stuff.
Oh, I see.
So now fast forward, 2015, the Sevens was brought up. I really enjoyed it. So then you put in an email, and they just accepted you, basically, and they had that all around the country. So mine was Santry, and there was one in UL and all over the place. So I went there, and I did a CMJ, which is just like...
you kind of move and jump.
Just a jump, kind of move and jump, then there was a 10 and a 20-meter time for a sprint, and then after that, there was a yo-yo test. So I don't know if you know Foster Horn. He plays in the Sevens team with me. So we did that testing all together, and we did the yo-yo test side by side as well. And I'll never forget, the runners started and they plugged their phone into the speaker, and the speaker started playing music halfway through our test, or like right at the end of the test. And I kind of just pulled up and stopped because I didn't really know what was going on, and didn't make it on the last one. But so me and Foster, we did that thing together, and now we're still in the program today. So
it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and there's been amazing players who've come in and out of that system, like Adam Byrne, Alex Wooten, Dan Goggin.
It seems like it's growing a lot more.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, every year we've grown just as a team in terms of the results that we've been getting and the competition, the teams that we're playing. And I think the provinces have lightened up a little bit more to the idea that Sevens is actually beneficial for the teams. Yeah. Like, at first they didn't really want to have any involvement.
Fitness.
There's good fitness involved. Yeah. But we get most of it done in our training session. So we don't do all that much running on the side. Like, you wouldn't go outside for 40 minutes to go run.
Yeah.
It's just like... just be terrible.
You don't need to.
We don't need to. No. So in our training sessions, today we did some running in between some stuff, which would be normal enough. Yeah. Like 120. So you can run out 60 and back, and you try and do it.
Do you want to walk me through what you do in a seven session?
Yeah. So today would have been like, to warm up and stuff, we would do just passing in fours. So you'd probably have maybe like 10 meters between everybody, and you just pass it, like on the move, pass it across, and then you pop it off to the last guy, and then they go back and forth. Just keep going.
Yeah.
Then after that, we do a bit of a warm up with the S&C, so just a bit more of just general movement and kind of things like that. Then we go back into another drill. So what we would have gone into would have been 5v5, and then that 5v5 after the first ruck turns into 7v6.
Mm.
So those first five guys have to take care of the rock. So you have three lads who will take care of the rock, and then you have the other two, and then other lads will drop in. You'll be in bibs and non-bibs, so they just call out a team, and you guys just play against each other. You usually get about four chances each, and just trying to hold on to the ball, like, especially on a wet day like today. And then you swap over because there was a few mistakes and people not doing what they needed to do. We had to do running in between that swap over, so we did two 120s in between that. Okay. So just push the lungs a bit more, go back. And then what else did we do? We kind of did the same thing, but just set up over on the side of the pitch rather than the middle. So you start off with seven lads, but three lads in the corner and three lads defending. And they have to play in the 15 and kind of manipulate the defense. And then from there, then you can play out. And then a bit more running after that as well. But it takes about an hour, and we ran about 5.5K in an hour. Like, people be like, 5K in an hour is not that long, but it's
playing rugby as well.
But that's high intensity. Yeah. That's high intensity running. You're going pretty fast for that whole thing. Yeah.
And so then I assume there's a gym program that you have built into your thing as well.
Yeah, exactly. So after that, we have about an hour and a half break, and then we went into the gym. So just depending on the days, different kind of things. It's total body, most yeah. sessions. You wouldn't just do legs, or you wouldn't yeah. just do upper body. To an extent, there's always a mixture of about everything. So we were doing like explosive squat jumps and hip thrusts, and then like single arm rows and stuff like that. So good mix. Yeah, yeah, keep you on your toes. Yeah.
So at what stage is the Seven Seasons at now?
Seven Season is probably halfway through the pre-season.
Okay.
So we started at the end of August, and the official first World Series event is the first weekend in December.
Okay.
We have tournaments coming up in between, but they don't have any relevance in terms of the series yeah. or the Olympics or anything like that. It's just a tournament in Chester, which is going to be a big one because there's like a lot of really good teams coming over to that. USA, South Africa, Ireland, England. Like you'll have a lot of competition going to that.
Yeah.
Then there's a Rugby X competition the week okay. after, which is like a five-a-side thing in the okay. O2 Arena, which is just a bit mad. And nobody really knows how this is going to go down. But
Sounds cool,
but there's no lineouts. I think there's scrums, but there's like no penalties, just taps. And when you score... That's the only time that you can change the subs,
okay.
or when the other team scores. But that's 10 minutes straight.
And then what do you do if you're in touch?
If you go into touch, right? This is actually the mad thing. There's a player standing on both touch lines, and if you go into touch, that player just throws the ball in straight away. As long as the ball goes
live.
Yeah. So if your man goes out here, let's say at the halfway line, yeah. as long as the ball goes past the halfway line back to the player on the team that gets the ball, it's just play on. So if you go into touch, literally that ball could be flying into the yeah. air like while you're still on the ground. So it's mad, yeah.
And what's the, how many minutes aside is it?
It's just 10 straight. There's no half time. Just you play a 10 minute game, unlimited subs.
That's maybe a bigger blowout than a sevens game.
Yeah,
really.
It looks like it. Yeah, yeah, it does look like it. So it'll be very interesting to see like
that. And what's the pitch size that you're playing?
It's smaller. It's a good bit smaller. I think it's about half. Just not as wide as a half, but I think it's as long as a half. Yeah. But yeah, and then we've got Elche, which is in Spain, in November, and that'll bring us up to the.
And then you'll be ready.
Yeah.
How far does the Grand Prix? It's the Grand Prix series. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
So it starts in December and it goes as far as.
Oh no! So that's the World Series.
Oh sorry.
Yeah, and then we have the Grand Prix in the summer.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of a non-stop season in that respect. You go for about 11 months.
Wow.
Realistically, 11. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, you get 1 month off, so you're training for 11 if you're not playing.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the World Series, which is Dubai, Cape Town. That's coming up in December. So everything you do is 2 week stints,
okay.
and they're regionally based. So Dubai and Cape Town would technically be the same region.
Same time zone-ish.
Yeah. Yeah. And then through that, it's actually interesting. There's 15 core teams, and then there's a 16th team that plays in the specific region, and they will qualify through the equivalent of their Grand Prix in the summer. So this one has been Uganda or Zimbabwe the last couple of years. They've kind of bounced back and forth, have been the 16th team. So they'll play in Dubai and they'll play in Cape Town.
That's cool.
Then you come back for about a month and a half, Hamilton, New Zealand, and Sydney, Australia. To do those 2 weeks, it's been like Papua New Guinea have been the side that have been the last couple of years, where you can get a Tonga or something like that.
Yeah.
Then come back. March, you have LA and Vancouver. It used to be Vegas, Vancouver is LA now.
Yeah.
So you would get actually teams from South America, you get like a Uruguay or a Chile. Then you go Hong Kong, Singapore. So that one's an interesting one because Hong Kong is also used as the qualifier to get in the World Series.
Okay.
So that's how we got into the World Series last year, winning Hong Kong. So Japan are going to probably be in that. So instead of them being in both tournaments, like another team will have to take their place. Okay. If they're not in the qualifier. It'll be like South Korea or something. And then Japan will go play in Singapore the following week as a representative. And then Paris and London are the final ones. And that's what we've played in the last 2 years. Is we've been the highest European team.
The serious amount of traveling.
Yeah, 10 places. December till May.
Before we move on to the last thing that I want to ask you. So the Olympics, how does that work in terms of qualifying? Because I remember the last time that the sevens, they didn't they didn't make the full way, but I assume that, that obviously the goal now is to get into the Olympics. So how does that process?
So that brings us into the Grand Prix then. After the World Series, you have the Grand Prix, and the Grand Prix are then, again, regionally based. So we'll be playing in the European Grand Prix. And we played it last summer, and that was the way for us to get into the Olympics through the Euros. It was a one-off tournament in France, and winner takes all, essentially, to take the European space. So England won that, and we came third. We lost to France in the semis, so France came second. So second and third place are now put into a Worlds.
Okay.
So that's going to happen everywhere else.
Yeah.
So you, whoever qualifies everywhere else
will
go in, and then the second and third will go over to this place. So 3 or 4 years ago, the last Olympic cycle, that happened in Monaco. I'm not sure where it's going to happen this year.
Okay.
So that's going to be in June, and the Olympics are in July. Yeah, so it's like 1 month before, it's kind of, you don't know if you're going up, but it's, again, winner takes all.
Yeah.
So it'll be us in France, Australia, Samoa, Tonga, they all have to do there. So you think it's going to be Australia or Samoa to go through. So one of those are going to come across. Then you've got the South Americas, the Africas, Asia, all that kind of stuff. So that Worlds is a one-off, and winner takes all, and then the Olympics, about a month later. So that's our only shot now.
It's an exciting time because, like, as we said, like, the sevens thing has only really crept on to seem big in Ireland in the last, you know, 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
So it's great to see that we are, you know, pushing for, you know, and it's great to see so many of players in, you know, who've been in, you know, provincial academies.
Yeah, exactly.
Whether it was, you know, 5 years ago, or lads who are in, you know, and the academy now. I don't know, Peter Maher.
Peter Maher. Yeah.
I was on the cup team that I played on at school, so it's great to see lads his age as well. Yeah. Just kind of, because it takes a long while to get into, like, you know, a full 15s Irish team, and you'd be there for 10 years. Whereas, like, it's nice to see them, you know, taking young lads in, giving them opportunities, which I think is great. Mm-hmm. So then, outside of rugby, you are very fond of traveling.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think. So you got this cruise. Explain how this cruise thing came.
Well, I start just from the beginning.
Yeah.
I'll just take us to the beginning.
Yeah.
So 2000 and I think 15 as well. So, or 16-ish. The sevens was on, but I was in UCD, and in UCD there was an option to do study abroad, so I had an option to go to Brisbane, and I said I want to go, like, and I applied and I got it, and then turns out that the seven season finished literally the day that I kind of needed to go. And it was for 6 months, so I, like, spoke to them, and they said that was fine, there's no problem, there's nothing really on. So I went down to Queensland, to Brisbane, and I played sevens the whole time I was down there, so it really worked out well for me, and the seven season started literally as I got down. But when I was down there, I was living in a place called King's College. It's the equivalent of, like, the Robux and stuff in UCD, so it's a bit mind-boggling, but colleges in Australia are on-campus accommodations.
Okay.
Then they call college, like UCD or whatever, they call that university.
Okay.
So you stay in a college, but you go to uni.
Yeah,
so it'd be like, what college do you live in?
Okay, yeah.
So I lived in King's College. There was John's College. There was the International College, Women's College. So I'll just call it King's, not to confuse anybody. But I stayed in King's, and historically, King's has been a very strong sporting college or accommodation. And it turns out that our head coach and head of sevens, Anthony Eddy, his brother is the head of King's.
Okay.
But it was just chance, like pure chance, that this all kind of came together. Yeah. So I spoke to him and applied and got in. And so I was living with 300 guys in this amazing complex. Yeah, really cool. There was a pool, gym, like three meals a day. Like
Full setup.
Full setup. Yeah. Like, if you needed help with your studies, everything was there. And they had sport through there as well. So you could play sport for the university, play sport for the college.
Okay.
Inter-college things. Anyway, dragging on here. But I met a few guys who were really into creating content just because they did really cool things. It wasn't a case of trying to get anything out of it. They just wanted to create memories. So like, they were big spear fishermen and like adventure guys. And on the weekends, they'd go and do these things. And I just thought it was so cool. And I was in awe of the videos they made. Like, I had never seen someone spearfish before. Yeah. And then You know, 6 months later, I'm on the Great Barrier Reef spearfishing with my friends all.
That's
so it was very, very cool, you know, and I managed to like catch my own fish and like I have all the footage or whatever. But from that, I kind of started editing video, putting it together. And then when I finished that study bit, I went to Bali and then I did the East Coast of Australia and I documented the whole thing and kind of put my first big video together. Yeah. And I just kind of stuck with it. I loved it. I think as a kid, I always had a camera, but I never really thought about it. I never really took that many. Like, I took photos like here or there, but I was lucky we traveled as a family. So I do have photos somewhere of these trips, but I never really thought about it that much. Only just looking back on it did I realize, oh, actually, I did really like cameras growing up. So I've just stuck with it. And then roll on to now, 4 years later, of just doing things for my own. I'm starting to pick up jobs and whatever. And then Royal Caribbean, massive cruise liner, they were hosting like the best job ever,
yeah,
is what they kind of branded it as, and it's called the Shore Explorer, and they wanted to have somebody go to all the destinations that they go to and show people what they can do on the shore, because you pull up in the port and then you get off for the day and you can do things there. So that was my job, was to fly around the world and go do that. So
that
my aunt Siobhan, she sent me a Facebook link saying like, this job is like perfect for you.
I keep going, I'm gonna hit this button.
And I basically made a video to apply. I had applied for a gig a few years back with the same thing, and I learned a lot from just that one application. I just made like a video of all my stuff, and it was a really nice video. I made the top 20, but the winner, his video wasn't as good as mine, that, well, I thought anyway, but he had spoke through his video, being like, hey, I'm here in Hong Kong, Japan, like he kept going like all of these places and like put it all in, and there was a familiarity between him and the person viewing and judging. So I said, I want to do the same thing. I want them to see me and know who I am before we ever meet. So I stood in front of the camera and I did 20 takes, and I just wanted to say it in one go, hi, I'm Harry McNulty, this is what I do, blah blah blah, and then I put in my video at the end. It was brilliant. People really supported me and got behind me without me asking anybody to do anything. All you had to do was tag them and put a hashtag, so I put it online, and then I ended up getting to the top of the hashtag thing for like 2 weeks.
That's pretty cool.
So anytime you click on the hashtag, like my video was the number one video there. And I got through to the top 10, and I was then in Hong Kong playing for the Hong Kong Sevens with the Irish team, trying to qualify for the World Series. And on that Wednesday, I get a phone call, or like asked, can you take a phone call? I was like, yeah, grand, to find out that I won.
That's pretty
And
cool.
I didn't want to tell anybody to distract them, because all the guys knew that I had applied and got through the top 10. And then they asked me, because we have something huge on the other side. So I told one of the lads. And then after the tournament, I said to everybody, yeah, I won it. And they're like, what are you talking about? Like, why didn't you tell anyone? I was like, I won it. Blah, blah, blah. Kind of blasé about the whole thing. But like, I was amazing. I went to Miami, Bahamas, Alaska, Japan, Dubai, Norway, Portugal in 3.5 weeks. So roughly 3 days everywhere. I was on the cruise ship for 3 days from Miami to the Bahamas and back, and then flew everywhere else.
That's pretty fresh, like.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean,
it's
a once in a lifetime opportunity.
I definitely have to grab it by the balls. Like.
I did absolutely everything that I could ever dream of doing. Like, when I was in Alaska, this is my favorite thing. I did the whole trip. Got a helicopter through the mountains, over the glaciers, landed on top of a glacier, and went dog sledding like around the glacier. And you got to like be the person who controls the sleigh for like, you know, 5 minutes or whatever, and then you like get a helicopter back, like just crazy.
That is literally the dream. Like a lot of people would never even dream of half that stuff. So
no, I mean, I didn't even know that existed, and then next minute I'm doing it, and I get paid to do it, like it's my job, and I'm documenting the whole thing, and I loved it. It was a really, really cool trip.
Well, it's great that, you know, that you can get so much out of something that you're passionate for as well. You know, like, you have your rugby, and that's, but I think to have a creative side and an outlet and all that.
That's exactly what it is.
Which I think is fantastic. So, but then one of the places that you went was Bahamas.
Yes.
So, tell me about your Bahamas project.
Yeah, so I went to the Bahamas, and I didn't have that much time there, in fairness, because I was on the ship and then you get on, yeah, and then I was doing kind of bits and bobs when I was there. But like, I loved it, and it was beautiful, and you, this crystal clear water, and it's just, the people are so friendly. You're in the Caribbean, and like, yeah, it's a cool place. So the hurricane rolls in like probably a month after I was there, Hurricane Dorian, I think it was. And it just like obliterated like the north section of the Bahamas, as far as I'm aware. And because I was there not that long ago, I felt that it was right for me to try and do something. Yeah. It's not fair like to just look on and be like, oh, I was there, but like, tough luck kind of thing. It's terrible. So the whole place was destroyed. I started a fundraiser. I have a website, and just using my social platform, I said to people, look, I'm raising money for the Bahamas. This is the destruction that happened. And I want to get to €1,000. And I have a website. If you go into the website, there's a donation button that you can just donate. You won't receive anything in return. It's just like, thank you very much for your donation, helping out, which was actually great, because at first I was just going to sell prints, and then I thought, like, prints are €40, €60, whatever.
People might not want to be able to do it. Yeah.
Like, and as soon as I set up that button, like, they were flying in. Then also, if you donated, or if you bought a print, that money was being donated. I wasn't keeping any profits, just to cover the costs.
Yeah.
And then I also ran a little mini competition. I had 3 prints at home that I had for a while, so kind of wanted to prompt people again and just pick up speed. So I said, if you donate €10 or more or buy a print, you'll be entered into a raffle
to get one of these prints,
which is worth €80.
Yeah.
And next thing I know, I'm at €1,300. So
out of you know, being proactive and setting something up.
Yeah, giving it a go. Like, I can't thank the people enough. Yeah. Like, they were brilliant in terms of how much support they gave me, and you know, they didn't have to do it, but they saw that I was trying to do something good. And it's kind of an avenue I would like to get down, is I love traveling and stuff like that, but I love different cultures and the people that are there. So by being able to help in some sort of way. So the money just arrived today. I got an email to say that it got through. So it's a company called, or an NGO called AmeriCares, and they basically specialize in emergency services. So the money's going to their emergency services that are taking place in the Bahamas. So €1,300, I think, will go a long way.
So it's more than you had to give anyway. Do you know what I mean? Like, you could have done nothing.
Yeah, I could have given £100 myself.
Yeah.
Which would have helped, but I got all these people to
help. Like, also, whether it's, you know, people can give money and do things, but also it raises that, you know, it also kind of checks people, and they're like, oh, wow, he is. I better actually hop on with him. And I feel like when someone does it, a lot more people are willing to be like, oh shit, I should probably help.
Yeah.
You know, so you know, you could have just given a donation, but you know, it says a lot more that you went through the whole hassle of, you know, setting all this up, and you know, so you know, my what's the word? I don't even know what the word is, but thumbs up to you.
Thank you very much. I
was going to try and use a big word, but just,
that's
all right. You know,
no, there's a time and place. That's fine. Exactly. No, thank you very much.
No, definitely. So we're going to move on to a couple of our little sections. I'm going to start with the life hack. Have you thought of a life hack?
Oh, go on. Just hit me with one. I mean, there's one that I kind of do when I travel. Just, it's a bit specific to me, but I'll lay it down. Okay, so when traveling, obviously you need to get an adapter because the plugs aren't always the same. So I always bring a 5-plug outlet with me. So I'll always travel with that. Turns out my Royal Caribbean trip, I didn't bring it with me. That's the one thing I forgot. So I literally was on a schedule, like saying, okay, if I charge this, it'll be done by this time and I'll be ready.
That
so you get everything hectic. But the reason I bring one of these 5-plug, I don't know, I call it a brick. I don't know what it is.
An adapter, like a one of them?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. One of these. I always bring one of these with me, and mine has 2 USBs at the top as well.
Oh, yeah.
I always bring one of them because that means you only need one
of the adapters.
One adapter, and usually hotel rooms only have 2 plugs, and they're a million miles away. So by having 5 home plugs, saves you a lot of time, it saves you a lot of hassle, but that's because I charge a lot of things when I go away. Yeah. Any other life hacks?
Well, that's a smashing life hack anyway.
You reckon?
Okay,
I just feel like it's a little specific.
Oh, no, definitely. But you're like, I feel like everyone has, you know, it's going to be specific to someone, you know?
Yeah, okay, I'll take that.
Okay, so our quick fire round, right? And what was the last thing you fixed?
The last thing I fixed? Man. I don't know if I've fixed anything.
It doesn't have to be something mechanical. It could be a website issue, a camera issue, you know, I think, you know.
Semi-fixed. Okay, yeah. I have a microphone that plugs into my camera, and I got smacked by a door, so it only picks up sound on the right hand side. But I found out that if I put my strap around it and pull it back,
okay,
it'll pick up sound on both. So it's a little fix for now.
Yeah, but
sorry, not very quick.
No, definitely
quick fire around. But anyway,
okay. So what are two songs that you know the words off by heart?
Don't really know that many songs. No, I don't.
Even a high school musical song or something like that?
No, I don't even really watch that many movies. Two songs that I know all the words to. I used to know Old Triangle.
Yeah.
I used to know it all. I probably could get most of the way through it.
I won't ask you to do it now.
No, please don't. And then I also used to know... That's about it, really. No, I'm bad with songs. Sorry. I'm bad.
Okay, what is your routine when you go to bed?
Routine when going to bed. I will end up doing a little bit of work, which isn't really great because of the blue light, but I have an app that kind of takes it away. And then make sure that my phone is charging, ready for the next day. My alarm is set. Then I always sleep on the same side of the bed, no matter what. And then, I just kind of have the things in place, and I also put my stuff in my bag before going for training, because Thursdays and Fridays I'm on the road for 7:45 or 6:45, so like the last thing I want to do is
pack a bag. That's bike, and then you sleep.
Yep. Then we go to bed.
Okay, so if you were challenged to a duel,
yeah,
what weapon would you choose?
Maybe like a throwing axe.
I got
to throw an axe in Alaska,
yeah,
and I managed to hit the board
and
stuck in.
Yeah.
So I did it twice. One time it went in normally. The other time it actually stuck in by the handle.
It's still stuck. I think that's the harder way to stick it. So
It definitely was. I don't know. I got lucky, but that's a good one because you can just throw it.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah,
and just get out of there.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you believe in any conspiracy theories?
Do I believe in conspiracy theories? Not really. I think they're quite interesting.
Yeah,
like, to an extent.
Explore.
Like, just because you just see how people think in like this completely different
way.
Yeah, like this could be that, and like
they did this, but maybe they
didn't. There was a conspiracy theory that I thought was quite funny. It's more like a meme than a conspiracy theory. But like when people found out Drake had a son, Drake said something in a song, and then they said that word was his son's middle name, and that he was referring to his son like
Adonis. I think that's true.
Is it? Well, I don't know.
To be fair, no one knows his son, so it's
I've
always thought that was true.
Someone really pulled it out of nowhere, but I thought that was hilarious. But like stuff like that is crazy.
Yeah.
There's a conspiracy theory that's really interesting about some Australian prime minister who went for a swim.
Okay.
And he never returned, and they think that the Chinese government stole him like in a marine
from the sea.
From a submarine.
Okay.
Or he got eaten by a great white.
But he didn't come out of the water.
Nobody knows. There's no trace of him. But it's either great white
or the Chinese.
A Chinese submarine.
Fair. In fairness, it always has to be one of those.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting one.
Yeah. No, definitely, I agree. Three activities that you would rate 10 out of 10 and would recommend anyone to do.
The helicopter with the dog sledding, it's a must. I did a bungee jump. I mean, it's not for everybody, but it was unbelievable.
I bungee jumped a few times. Have you skydived before?
I skydived solo once.
See, that's my next.
Not proper. Like it's you get like the cables connected to the planes. When you jump out, it automatically pulls it. So the free falls are very minimal.
Yeah,
it's 3 seconds maybe.
But you're still in the air on your own,
Yeah, and then you got a headphone in, and the guy's like, "Pull left, pull right."
Okay.
But that was cool. Shark. I did shark dive, cage diving in South Africa.
Oh wow!
See, these are all like some people would just hate to do these things, but I just think it was. Okay. I had the best time ever.
Fucking insane!
I had the best time ever doing that. Other than that, travel. Like just travel. Just get out there, meet new people, explore new cultures, try new foods, it doesn't matter where you go. Like, even if you go to England, like, food's going to be a little bit different, people are going to be a little bit different. Like, if you, Wales, like, or France, whatever, doesn't, you don't have to go far, but just do it.
Just try.
Yeah, that's a must travel. Yeah.
Agreed. Okay, well, that's, I like those questions. Okay, so now your 10 questions, right?
I was bad at that, so this is going to be even worse.
Our, the high score on this is 5, and out of like 30 episodes, like, there's only 4 people who've gotten 5. So the lowest is 1. So as long as you land somewhere in that region. Okay, so.
So I have to get these right, yeah?
It's so trivial. Yeah, there's 10, so as many as right as you can.
I can be randomly good at this, or I could be terrible.
We'll see. Okay, so who did Conor McGregor beat to become the first fighter in UFC history to hold both titles, to hold 2 titles in 2 different weight divisions?
No, I was going to say Khabib, but that's obviously, he didn't win that fight at all. No, go on.
Eddie Alvarez. UFC 205.
Okay.
Okay, so in Harry Potter, how was your house aligned to you?
Your background? Maybe, no.
The sorting hat.
I thought you meant in terms of why the sorting hat picture, excuse me.
Okay, yeah.
Thought too deep into that one. Yeah, sorting hat.
Yeah. Okay. Which B word is an American slang word to leave abruptly?
Ooh. Bounce.
Had to bail.
Oh, bail. Okay. Yeah.
You might get this one. In which country is the world's largest waterfall?
Zimbabwe?
Venezuela. Angel Falls.
Angel Falls. I think of Victoria Falls. Yeah. Yeah, not bad.
Well, look, you're already on the board, so it's just plus.
Yeah.
To whom was Bobby Brown married to from 1992 to 2006?
Who's Bobby Brown?
Singer. Whitney Houston.
Okay.
what is the technical name for the shoulder blade?
Scapula. Yes.
That's two.
I'm happy with two.
Okay. What is the speed of light?
3.167. No, that's pi.
Yeah, that's fine.
I don't know.
It's an important maths number.
Yeah,
anyway.
Just the first thing that came to my head.
It is 299,792 kilometers per second.
299,992.
Yeah, something like that. Okay. Baku is the capital city of which Eastern European country?
Baku would be like. No, it's not Estonia. It would be like Slovakia or something. No.
It's B-A-K-U, is that how you say it?
Baku, yeah.
It's Azerbaijan.
Azerbaijan.
It's a hard capital, I know. Okay, who won his first major in a sudden death playoff in Augusta 2017?
Bubba Watson. No.
Sergio Garcia.
Sergio.
Big Serge.
Fair play to Serge.
Okay, last one. Mr. Men book series, what colour is Mr. Tickle?
Purple.
Orange. Look, you got two, so you're off the board anyway. I think I'd probably get one if I did it again. You'd be surprised how many people get in that 1 to 2. Because they are fairly abstract.
Yeah.
You know? And you have to keep them hard because I really don't want anyone to ever get to them.
No, I enjoy that.
One thing that I did forget to mention beforehand was you're doing video for Greg O'Shea, having won. I'd say that must be interesting. Like, obviously he's got a lot of people.
Look, it's cool for me because I've known Greg for a very long time. Yeah. So, like, I don't... People are probably thinking, oh, he's just jumping on bandwagon. No, I've known Greg for years through the rugby. We were in Munster Academy together and stuff like that down in Limerick. This came about out of nowhere. Like, obviously, 2 weeks and next thing he wins it.
Yeah.
It's like fantastic. Great for him. But he's never really been that into social media.
Really?
Yeah. Like, he would have posted on Instagram and Facebook and stuff, but he didn't really
want
see it as an outlet or really want... So, part of that role that he's fallen into now is to do social media.
Mm.
And I've had a YouTube for a few years, but like, I post rarely on the YouTube, and I've got like 100 subscribers.
Yeah.
And I just thought, here's an opportunity for Greg to expand his profile by creating YouTube videos.
Oh, they're good. Like I've watched them.
Thank you very much.
They're very good.
And it's an opportunity for me to be creative. Mm. And the stuff that will be made will be seen.
Mm.
And it'll go forward. Because I can still make videos for myself. I still am making videos for myself.
You also have great crack with Greg, I assume.
Yeah, we get on well, and I understand kind of how Instagram or YouTube works and kind of what people like. Well, I think I have an idea. Yeah. So I just said to him, look, I think it'd be cool if we video a day here or a day there. We're on the same schedule as well with the rugby.
So,
so
you have your day off together and your
And he can just be like, hey, like before training here or after training here, like can you do it? And I'm usually free or whatever. So I just said, look, if you want to do YouTube, I'll make all the videos, I'll shoot everything, I'll edit it all, and we'll get it up, and I'll just follow you around, and I think it'll be cool. So then we kind of had to think of a name. We came up with A Day with O'Shea, and I think people have liked it so far. He's up to like 7,000 subscribers on YouTube, which is not an easy feat whatsoever.
Yeah, I've been like, I've had a YouTube channel like 11 months now.
It's
still,
it's one of the hardest things to grow, because to subscribe they have to have an account.
Yeah.
So it's not that easy. And most people just watch YouTube. They don't have an account to YouTube. No. So that was. That has been great. We've got other things coming up, and we kind of have ideas in the pipeline and trying out new things. And it's been good for me to be able to just make these things. And it's kind of different shooting for somebody else. And I kind of, he lets me be creative and do different things. And we talk about what he likes and what I like and all those kind of things. And first video got like 25,000 views.
That's
like,
pretty decent.
You know, it's good. Like I was shocked. I couldn't believe how many people watched it or how many people subscribed. So the end goal is like, we're not going to make a fortune off YouTube, but like make a little bit of money back and just see how it goes. And the thing with YouTube is like, if it doesn't work, like, so what? Do you know, like we tried it.
Exactly, yeah.
You've got some videos out there. There's content there. And for me as well, it's great, because if somebody watches the video, because of Greg, but they're in this industry and sees,
and they stay to see your shit as well.
Yeah, well, that too. But if, even if they just see it and go like, "Oh, who made that?" I like who made. I like how it's been shot. And then they go, "Who made that?" Like, it gives me opportunities as well. So like, I'm very thankful for Greg for allowing me this opportunity to do all this stuff. And it's a great platform for me. It's a great platform for him. We work well together. We have a lot of fun. So yeah, that's been a cool little journey.
It sounds like you're enjoying it, and it sounds like you're having good crack playing rugby and traveling. So I just want to say, just thanks a million for coming down and chatting to me today.
No problem at all.
Like, I wish you the best with your seventh season, and you know, all your creative outlets and all that kind of stuff. You know, just, and the camera just went, so there's our cue.